It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It's mid-September. There are 17 games left. The Mets are in a push for a playoff spot and have been for a while. At what point is Pete Alonso actually going to get a big hit? Like, all I've heard about all year long, oh, no, Pete's got it in him. Pete could turn it on at any point. Oh, look out, the final month of the season, Pete could go nuts. Well, guess what? I'm watching, and you know what I see? Alonso's getting worse as the season starts to wind down here. Yesterday, BT, and it was a bad game for the Mets, and look, you can't win all the games, we understand that. But Alonso comes up in a big spot, in certainly early on, and doesn't get the job done. He leaves four guys on base the entire night. He's been in a major funk here over the last however many games. I mean, really, it's been a down year. But can Pete Alonso get a big, like, oh, we're waiting for it. Oh, we're waiting for it. Oh, it's not over. Season's not over yet. Well, yeah, it's 17 games to go. At some point, is Pete going to turn it on in this walk year and act like a $200 million man that he wants that big contract? Act like the face of the franchise that he wanted to be, which we know he's not, but he wanted to be that? At some point, it'd be nice if Pete Alonso actually got a big hit this year.
You know, listen, I think that Pete Alonso has had one of the most disappointing baseball seasons in New York in a long time. I mean, encompassing all of the contract stuff, too, and all the conversation, the rhetoric, the emotion, the things that have happened on this show pertaining to Pete going back to last year. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think that the more it deepens, the more pressure he feels. And let's face it, Sal, he has not handled pressure well this year. That's it. He just hasn't.
But the pressure should be off at this point. He's already botched his contract.
Yeah, but he has. He absolutely has.
Like, that's over. We know what he is. He's hitting .239.
No, he's had an absolute dud of a season. However, think about it from his perspective, right? Where you are, he knows he's underperformed, but, you know, human
emotion.
Does he
though?
I think deep down,
because remember, I'm an all-star. I'm on pace for 40 home runs. You saw him pace for 40 home runs.
No, he's not. He's not. He's definitely not on pace for that. I hear you. What he said, I think, is very different than what he thinks. I can't prove that, but I just know how the mind works and self-preservation, and you try to throw people off scent, and not give them, the meat that some people want with pertaining to his contract. I think that in his mind, while he knows he's had not a bad season, but certainly not what we thought he would have and hoped he would have. He's saying to himself, I can change it all. I can change it all with a walk-off bomb, with a 3-for-4 night, if I rack the Braves, if I rack the Phillies, if I finish up, maybe player of the month, or that time's ticking, obviously. Right. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to happen, but why evidently it's not even close to happening, but why I push back on, I do think the pressure is actually intensifying, because I think in his mind, as all competitors should, still believes that he can change the narrative, and I think he's just digging himself deeper into the sand. He looks awful.
Well, I guess that's my point, right? We're now here, because you're right, that was the same. Well, I could change the season, I could still get to 40 home runs, this and that, blah, blah. There's 17 games to go!
I know.
And you're getting worse! Your average is sinking. You come up multiple times last night with a chance to change the game. Now, again, I'm not blaming that loss on Pete Alonso. David Peterson didn't have it. It wasn't Alonso alone. Vientos wasn't good. You know, some of the Mets lineup has been struggling here for a little while. It's been the pitching that's carried him. That's fine. But you expect more from Pete. And when he hasn't really kicked it into gear, the word I would use to describe Pete Alonso's season is non-impactful. And for a guy that has 31 homers and a guy that's been a prodigious power hitter since he's been in the league, you'd like to have much more impact than what he's had. We've gone over this list before. If I asked you to rank the most impactful Mets in order of their season getting turned around, and Alonso will be toward the bottom of that. I mean, he's hitting .239. He's got 79 RBI with 17 games to go. This is your middle of the order guy who's looking for a big contract, power Pete, looking for a mega contract in the offseason.
Yeah, and by the way, the excuse that, Lindor was doing nothing the first month of the season, which which is why maybe his RBI production was impacted. I know Lindor's gotten a little chilly, but he's humid here, so you would think that he would wake up and get hot again at some point. I do, but you know, Lindor's been on base every game,
and
he's still at 79 RBIs.
And Vientos hitting in front of him in the two spot. Like, Alonso's the problem. He's been a problem here, and when this team has desperately needed at some point, like, think about what they've done, BT, basically without him all year having that impact. They just needed at least a few weeks stretch. Now, there's 17 games to go. Maybe he's going to turn it on now. Again, I said months ago, I trust Nimmo to get it turned around, and he's been cold too, but I trust him more than I do Alonso. This is going back months ago. It just seemed like a lost year for Pete Alonso. And everybody, oh no, Alonso's still got it in him. Alonso this, Alonso that. 17 games to go. Be nice if you turned it on now and actually got a big hit. And maybe ultimately he will be judged what he does against Philadelphia and Atlanta, which I think this Mets season is going to come down to. I know they play today at 3 o'clock, finish up that series against the Blue Jays. But ultimately, where they are in the standings, right there with the Braves again, tied with Atlanta. 7 games with Philly to go. Obviously not going to be easy. We're Philadelphia looking to just bury that division, finally, you know, put that away. At some point, unfortunately, the Mets are going to need Pete Alonso to have a positive impact on this team. And with 17 games to go in his walk year, it hasn't been felt yet, and that's a problem.
Not only has he not, you know, held the proverbial steering wheel in terms of directing the Mets where they've gotten so far, he's not sitting shotgun.
Right.
I don't even think he's in the back seat. You know, if you got a five-seater, you talk about Lindor, you talk about Vientos, Iglesias, you know, intermittently, you know, with Torrens behind the plate, obviously, you know, Severino dealing, and Manaea has been a stud outside of last night. Peterson, bullpen's picked things up. I mean, he's really, he's non-impactful works. That just non-impactful. Last 15 days, Sally's hitting .178.
.178,
they're in a pennant race.
And you could almost, now I can't, but you could almost forgive the entirety of the season if he just turned it on for 1 month in September, those last 15 games or the final 17 games coming up. If Alonso were able to turn it on and carry this team into the postseason, maybe you forgive what happened. Now, I'm not saying you forgive it when it comes contract time, where obviously you got to wait that.
I was going to ask you that.
No,
okay, I'm with you so far. Go ahead.
I'm saying forget about the down year that you've had.
Uh-huh.
You were impactful at the most important time, got the Mets into the postseason, and see what damage you could do in the playoffs. But why would you believe it's going to happen at this point when it hasn't clicked in for Pete? Which then also, to further the conversation, would make me think, why am I bringing him back? Well, because he hit 30-plus home runs? I mean, this is who Alonso has been now the majority of time. The last couple seasons, Pete Alonso now has shown you he's not going to be a high average hitter, and he's going to be inconsistent. It's not going to be a great clutch performing player, but he's going to hit a lot of home runs. Like, he'll hit 30-plus home runs. Even in a down year, he's got 31, so he's going to end up with, what, 35?
34-ish, 33, okay. Unless he gets real hot.
All right, but, I mean, a good year, let's say what? You're going to have closer to 40,
yeah.
hit 250, and have...
We hope he hits 250. Last two years, it's not 250.
I'm saying for a good year. And by the way, as he gets older, do you think that that's going to improve?
It's going to get worse.
Okay,
you lose a tick of bat speed, you got to start guessing a little bit, you start expanding the zone. It's not going to get better.
So these are now conversations. I'm sure the Mets are already having these thoughts. But for now, it's not even about what happens in the offseason. And it's about the year that Pete Alonso has had.
Wake up! Wake up!
Lindor's been an MVP after his hideous start.
Mm-hmm.
He's played like an MVP, a legitimate MVP candidate. Where is Pete Alonso? At some point, Pete Alonso needs to do something for this team. And last night, again, just infuriating. Listen to that game on the way home last night in the first inning. I'm waiting. All right, here we go, Pete. We're coming up later in the game with guys on. We're one swing of the bat.
Yeah.
Could change the game. They need Pete Alonso, unfortunately, at some point, and he just has not been there for him all year long.
Well, by the way, you said listening to the game on the radio gives us a chance to plug something we'll do every Wednesday the rest of the baseball season. So coming up at 11 today here with BT and Sal, Howie Rose. All right, so we'll ask him about Pete. He's seen pretty much every single game Pete's played as a Met. And then on the Yankee side, 12:30, Susan Waldman, and every Wednesday, hopefully deep into October for the Yanks and the Mets. So I know what you feel, and you and I feel the same thing. And quite frankly, we have had, you know, Pete Alonso synergy, and I'm going to stop short of saying that we've been right.
Right.
But I'll put it this way. We haven't been wrong, okay? So thus far, our Pete Alonso synergy's been in lockstep here. What do you think the majority of Met fans our thing as they're here, we'll obviously take the calls, but I want your, you know, before we get these calls, what do you think that the average Met fan really thinks Pete's going to provide these final couple of weeks?
I think it's a great question. I think the sentiment from the fan is probably disappointment, first and foremost.
That's because, a given. Yeah, I mean, moving forward.
I know. I'm just saying okay. that this is a guy that you know Mets fans love. Homegrown guy, yeah, yeah. Embraced being in the city, all the charitable things, all that. He's got that lovable kind of aloof nature to him, especially early on, mm-hmm. record-breaking rookie season. So I think there's disappointment. Even if you had some people that said, I wouldn't sign him or whatever, the majority of people wanted Pete to go. And I think the owner himself, as he said it, I hope Pete goes out there and hits 60 home runs and makes things impossible on me. Obviously, that was not the season. So first, the feeling is disappointment. And I don't know how Mets fans could even be hopeful at this point because hope, yeah, all right, you want to be hopeful that he could get a turnaround, and you still believe to a certain extent because he's done it in years past. But how could you believe, based on anything logical, BT, that he's going to at this point with 17 games to go? You could have sold me better a month and a half ago. You can't tell me now with 70 to go that, hey, you know what? Pete's going to do it. And give me legitimate reasons why, other than just he flips the switch and somehow gets hot over the last 2 weeks. Of the 2 weeks to go! I mean, that's it! Season's over!
Yeah.
2 weeks left and he hasn't done it yet. So I think most Mets fans are sane and logical and saying, you know what, probably a lost season for a while.
I think that you're right. All right, let me flip it to you this way here. So 3:07 first pitch, let's say 5:41 today. Just throwing out a random time. Mets are down 2, ninth inning, 2 out.
Yeah.
All right? And
the last guy I'd want up in that spot is Pete Alonso.
Okay, so I want your order of confidence. Number one, you want Lindor up there, even though he's a little chilly last
100%,
week or so. Right, so you want, okay, I got you. You want Lindor number. Who do you want number two? Vientos two. Who do you want third? Iglesias. Where we go? Honestly, where we go? Iglesias, maybe.
You could throw Winker in there.
Yeah,
you
Winker could, seems a little clutch. Winker, Iglesias.
You could throw even JD Martinez potentially. I know Nimmo ideally would be a guy. I know we got a base hit last night, driving a run, but Nimmo's been so bad too. Again, this is not just Pete, but Pete is
an all-star. No, Pete's the one who's looking for a contract.
And an all-star. He was their lone all-star this year.
He let us know.
Right or wrong. Exactly. So, you know what? You're going to get the brunt of the criticism, especially when you're struggling with guys on base. His job is to drive runs in. That is his job. Nobody's asking for gold glove defense. Nobody's asking for versatility or high baseball IQ or good on the base pads. Your job is to produce runs with power. That means when a guy's on first base, he should be in scoring position when Pete Alonso steps into the box. And too many times, it's just not there. Just to answer your question from before as well, the one thing that maybe Mets fans could look forward to, hey, you know what? It's been a lost year, and I have no faith that Pete's going to get it turned around, but as long as he produces against those three games in Atlanta, you'd sign for that. At least that's where I'm at. And I think that some people will probably be in line with that as well.
I think you're probably right. But then I think that that could be a little confusing in the sense that, you take it because it means team success, is no doubt. But how does that complicate the negotiation?
Well, I wouldn't let that complicate the negotiation.
But it might in the minds of many Met fans, and who knows what impact that has on ownership if Cohen lets sentiment get involved.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. Let's say Pete takes the collar today and doesn't do much except for those couple of key games against the Braves, even more so than the Phillies. And against the Braves, let's say Pete goes 6-14 with 3 bombs and 8 ribbies, okay?
Yeah.
And the Mets secure wild card number 2. Maybe they jump past the Diamondbacks. Padres get 1. Mets get 2. Braves get 3. Or the Diamondbacks get 3. Whatever. But he shines on a stage that Mets fans are craving for him to shine on. But yet the season wasn't very good. We talk about 30 years old, righty hitter, slowish on the bags, and obviously not a great fielder. Competent, and it's not bag on Pete Alonso Day.
Right, right.
But this is about, let's create a little perspective. Number one, about the season he's had, and number two, how he's got at least a little reprieve here with 17 games to wake up out of his coma and do something for the Mets season.
Right. I don't think though you could let that impact the contract talks, although I'd be lying to you if I said if he goes nuts against the Braves and they get into the postseason and he has not a Daniel Murphy type October, but a good October, you'd be like, all right, maybe more apt to bring him back, but I'm still not paying the ridiculous price that I think he and his agent think that he should get just because he hit 30 plus home runs in a year. Because you know why? I can't trust him moving forward because of the inconsistencies. BT and Sal on the Fan. We have a lot to do today. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We'll work in some football as well with Aaron Rodgers and one of our partners, one of our teammates here at the Fan had some interesting things to say about the Jets and their roster. BT will have a response to that later on as well. As you said, we'll have Howie, we'll have Susan, we'll have some fun along the way. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. We'll get to your calls here. 888-808-1019. We started the show talking about Pete Alonso. We'll do a lot of baseball today. Howie Rose coming up at 11. Susan Waldman will join us at 12:30. We'll work in some football as well. You know, you have some thoughts on that, BT. Some of the stuff yesterday with the Jets and Rodgers talking to McAfee. But we got to acknowledge here, you know, it's always a somber day, 9/11, for obvious reasons here. And, you know, not that we need to relive our memories of it. I think we did that last year. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you know, a day of, look, if you live through it, I don't know how you could ever forget what took place that day, whether you were in the city, whether you were somewhere else. You know, if you have a connection to the city, certainly it's maybe more memorable. But wherever you may be, Long Island, Jersey, across the country, doesn't matter. I don't think anybody who lived through that and saw it on TV or here, certainly in the city, how you can forget the events of the horrific events of 9/11. So on, you know, on 9/11, we like to remember those who lost their lives, of course, and who fought for this country, and you know, the firefighters and
yep.
trying to save lives, and everybody that you know, went into that building knowing what was coming. Just, man, it's horrible. I've watched plenty of specials on it over the years, but you can never forget. And, of course, on 9/11, we remember the events of that day.
The mass wreckage, the smell.
Ugh.
The, you know, what saddens me the most, and I've told you a few times, even when Tiki and I were together, we were talking about this, obviously. My high school got hit particularly hard. Xavier, which is here in Manhattan, right? West Side, 16th Street. And two of my classmates were killed. My best friend's...
They were working in the towers?
Yeah. Cantor Fitzgerald. My best friend's cousin was at the restaurant on the top. She was killed. And I think that the saddest thing, you know, and it's God, I mean, you're right. How do you go back to Pete Alonso or you know, Daniel Jones? Yeah. What kind of leash should Dable give
him? Who cares?
It means nothing at the end of the day. But... And it hits me differently as a dad now. It just sends me to no end that I can't even verbalize it properly. I'll try and won't do it justice. How particularly the people that I knew who were beginning their quest and their journey as eventual titans of industry, smart, you know, good colleges, you know, high SAT scores, respected athletes, tough, but sensitive and giving. They never got a chance to become dads. And I just... It hits me more and more as I become deeper and entrenched in fatherhood. And listen, there's no words. We know that. It's an acknowledgement. It never does it justice. But I miss my Xavier brothers, and I just feel empty for all the families that will never be the same.
It's horrible to think about. And for years, I felt guilt for even watching some of the stuff. I didn't know if it was a good thing. You know, they always have the movies on it or specials on it.
Yeah.
And I would, because at this time of year, certainly they would replay a lot of that stuff. And there were times where I would immerse myself in it and you know, remembering, but also learning about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I have not been at SNY is for World Trade, so it's right there. So I walk past the towers every day. I have not been to the museum. Have you been there yet?
No, outside, not inside.
Everybody says you must do it. I don't know if I could take it. Like you said, it's very hard to... I mean, look, it happened,
yep.
obviously, and it was a long time ago, but still, like, to think about the people that experienced that day.
It was our Pearl Harbor. That's what it really equates to in a lot of ways.
The one story that I will tell is I was at the Piazza game.
Yeah.
And I remember going to Shea Stadium, which I did quite a bit back then. Like, that was my prime of going to games, 98, 99, 2000, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And... to try and describe the eeriness that I felt at Shea Stadium, I couldn't even do it justice. But just going there on a cold fall, dark night in the parking lot, walking up to the stadium, all the police barricades. Obviously, remember they were using Shea Stadium.
Yep.
You know, so just that, and then you see all the missing posters on the banners.
Mm-hmm.
As you're walking into Shea Stadium, the security was upped. They gave out the flags. They had special, you know, God Bless America stuff. It just felt, now it felt nice to be in a place with a lot of people who were looking for an escape.
Mm-hmm.
But the eeriness that I felt the entire night until Piazza hit the home run. And I'm not trying to be cheesy and make it like, oh, the home run. But being in the building and feeling that, going in and knowing what we watched, and everybody had no choice but to be immersed in it for days because that's all that was the focal point. Things were shut down, of course, as they should have been. But and then once he hit that home run, it almost did feel like, hey, you can act normal and cheer and get celebrating and celebrate and take your mind for a second off of the horrible events that just happened, you know, what, 10 days prior. So it was a strange feeling, but therapeutic in some ways as well.
Yeah, I can certainly see that for sure. And we can ask Howie about that. Howie was on the call.
Yep.
I think that for me, what's bothersome, aside from what I said about, you know, my buddies and others who never had a chance to take that next step in life, which is just so unfair, that it brought us together, whether it's at Shea Stadium or Chanting USA or whatever it might be. Do we really feel together as a society right now? I don't think so.
And I'm glad you brought that up.
Today we do. Today we do. You know what? In general.
But still, because even though we all say never forget, that is important when you actually think about it. Never forget. You can't forget how you felt in that moment.
Yeah.
I forget how old exactly that I was, but whatever, 20-something years old, from a distance, remember how I felt. And you're right. There was a togetherness after that, like, you know, a bonding that can only come from a horrific event like that. But it's easy. And even in life, in you know, regular deaths or something, it's like, man, it sucks. And you want to take every moment for granted. And you're reminded how precious time and life is. But then a week later, you start to move forward and you kind of do forget. But with 9/11, it's impossible to forget. But you have to sometimes dig deep to remember, not forget the feelings that you had back then of sadness and then of unity when we did come together as a country.
I don't need to add to that. Amen. I think that's really well said, and just, you know, inner peace is as much as anybody could possibly find today that was intimately affected by 9/11. I hope you find it.
And we're going to take a break because there's no way I'm going to go to calls and talk about Pete Alonso after this. We do have a lot to get to today. As you said, we'll have Howie and Susan both on. We could talk to Howie about that home run from Piazza, sure, but I want to get into the current Mets with him as well. And Susan, with the Yankees, both these teams here moving forward, 17 games to go or so, and you get the playoff push. So we'll turn our attention back to sports. But we here, BT and Sal, obviously you listening out there, never forget what happened to our city on 9/11/2001.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
It is time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's Turning Point of the Game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. BT and Sal back on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Pete Alonso is not alone, BT, as far as the struggles go here down the stretch for some key players for both the Mets and Yankees. It was an ugly night for New York baseball, and the Stars, you know, didn't really get the job done.
It's pennant race time. I'd like to see the other superstars join the party. Now, this is not just to levy, like, reckless criticism, because these players have been phenomenal this year that I'm about to reference, but you got to finish the job. Otherwise, you didn't finish the job, bottom line. So, we talked about Pete. Last 15 days, he's batting .178. Of course, Lindor gets much more rope because he's been phenomenal last few months. But last 7 days, you know, these games obviously still matter. Hitting .167. Aaron Judge has been in a prolonged funk. No home runs last 15 days. I could bring it. I could stretch it more, but I won't. He's hitting .91 with a sub 600 OPS in those last 15 days. And even Juan Soto, not quite as bad as the others, but during that 15-game span, 229, one home run, 705 OPS. I mean, Yanks are a half a game up on the O's with seven to go. Mets are in a dead heat with the Braves with 17 to go. If Lindor and Alonso and Judge and Soto, the other stories are cute, but if those guys don't, if they don't start leading the way now, independent of what's transpired to this point, it's just not going to finish the way we need it to finish, period.
I think specifically Lindor, because the Yankees are going to be in the postseason. Judge cannot get a hit. Soto cannot get a hit the rest of the way. The Yankees are going to make the postseason and still might win a division. The way the Orioles are going, Yankees still might be able to win a division. So I think specifically Lindor, and I'm not going to get on him at all because, I mean, he is human and he's been red hot basically since his ice cold start. So, all right, seven rough games, fine. Maybe he'll turn it around. He has to turn it around for the Mets to, you know, overtake the Braves or get in one of those final wild card spots. I want to focus on Judge, though, for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, there are two layers with the Judge conversation. First thing, and again, as I was driving home yesterday listening to both Emmanuel and Susan on the broadcast, flipping back and forth with the Mets and Yanks until I got home to watch them, and, you know, to hear them discuss Judge, the fact that he isn't homered in however many games, whatever you said, the last 15 games.
It's actually a little more than that, but okay, yeah, it's been a while.
But struggling last. So my first thought with that was a greater appreciation for what he did. Because he was so dominant for so long, mm-hmm. so routinely, every single day, that the expectation, you know, like the one criticism that anybody could say about Rodgers that he's so good, he only has one Super Bowl. Like, Judge, you expect every time he comes up to hit a home run, and it's just not realistic. And the majority of time, you were right, he did hit a home run. Like, think about that type of pace that he was on for over 60 home runs again. So this recent stretch shows that he's human. And also, to me, heightens what he did, where I do think a lot of times, BT, took it for granted.
Well, I do think that sometimes we do take his greatness for granted because he's been here for a couple of years. We've seen his superhero-like powers, and I don't want to say we're desensitized to it, but I think that's just human nature.
Right.
When you see something so amazing, so brilliant, so rare day to day, you kind of expect it. That's not fair, but we do. But hold on a second here. You know, all the Lindor conversations we've had, and that's a separate thing, but specific to Judge, I mean, I've got to be consistent here. Now, Lindor's not Judge. He never will be.
Right.
But if Aaron Judge just languishes the rest of the way, and let's say the Orioles win the division by a game, a half a game, whatever, and instead of the last 15 days hitting a .191, Aaron Judge goes the last 30 or 35 days, he hits 201 with an OPS of 612, and the Yankees have a little whimper in October, and that's it. I mean, don't tell me that Aaron Judge is beyond criticism at that point. You're not.
No, I wouldn't say
you
that.
You got to finish the job.
The second part to what I was saying before, after giving Judge the acknowledgement, like, I'm not going to get on him for this rough patch here, but if he does this, what he's done in the last 15 games in the postseason, then it's a major problem. At some point, Judge has to do what he's done in the regular season at his peak in the postseason to carry this team to a World Series or a World Series victory. That will be, and I'd be lying to you if I said that this recent stretch of, you know, struggles for Judge, like, if it didn't creep in the back of my mind thinking, postseason right around the corner, you don't want Judge to start to go that way. And another part of it, you know, playing center field every day for the most part, is it wear and tear? I don't know. I'm just going to choose to say he's going through a little bit of a funk. He is human. But in the postseason, there cannot be any excuses.
Oh, I'm with you.
He's got to deliver at a high level. Not like 260 and two home runs in a series.
I know what you're saying.
Like Judge-like.
He's got to have an A-Rod run like in 09.
Yeah. 330,
give us a Reggie moment.
Five homer. Like,
I mean, come on, give us a Reggie moment.
Yeah, right.
Let's
three
go.
A game. You're Aaron Judge. You're the best player that I've ever seen.
Yep.
At some point, you got to do that in the postseason. So there are many layers to it. But yeah, I mean, Judge, and you want to throw in Soto there as well as you did. Bottom line is New York needs its stars to perform, both the Yankees and the Mets, to be able to get, you know, Mets to get in the postseason, Yankees to get to the World Series.
Yeah, and listen, Soto's been a little bit better, but he too's got to wake up. We touched on Pete. We touched on Lindor. Obviously, the focus, because you bring it back to Judge, which I do appreciate, because he can't escape the, you know, the contents of criticism. Fairness, of course, you've got to be fair as you distribute this stuff, because Aaron Judge has been all time. But here's why I do think that he's going to bounce out of it. It's not like, let's make a prediction, but, like, okay, we focus on his prodigious power, which is undeniable. But what he's become right before our eyes is an incredibly refined, smart, adaptable hitter. And when you are that hitter, He's hitting 320 still.
Right.
He's not hitting, you know, 270 with 51 bombs or 249. He's hitting 320. And you know, he's done that before. He almost won the Triple Crown a couple of years ago. So when you morph into that type of hitter, which I don't think is an anomaly, I think he's more that than more than 270, he's going to find his way out of it and rake. But, you know, until he does, I'm not saying we crush him, but we're aware. Hey, Aaron, let's go. You got to join the party a little bit here.
And you know what's crazy about it? He's right now in the midst of having the best protection that he's had all year long in the lineup. Austin Wells, who's emerged really since right before the All-Star break.
Yeah, last 2 months he's been phenomenal.
Okay, fine.
Phenomenal.
And you would think that that would not make Judge better because it's impossible to be better.
Mm-hmm.
But you certainly wouldn't think that that would correlate to Judge and Soto going into a little funk.
That's a good point. Slump proof. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I gave you the stats a few times, but specific to Wells, the last 2 months, you know, 940 OPS is basically each month. I mean, Austin Wells has been great. You know, you start to see these stories now about Rookie of the Year. I don't think he's going to win that.
Yeah, and who cares?
I hear it, but I do think he's going to be an all-star for a couple of years as a Yankee catcher. Who knows? Maybe he moves to first base at some point. But that is an astute point because, you know, Verdugo for a second solidified four.
Right.
And then it was this rotation, and it was really more about what was in front of Aaron Judge. Yeah, he had a lot of RBI right. opportunities, which means you get some fastballs, which means they can't put pitch around you as much as maybe some teams wanted to. But you still got to punish the baseball when it comes over the plate. With Wells hot, the ball's kind of over the plate. I do see, not to get too technical,
yeah.
I do see a little lapse in mechanics pertaining to the slider. Remember when Scherzer toured with him a couple of years ago at Citi Field?
Yeah.
That outside slider that is obviously from a righty that just darts down low and away. And Aaron Judge became very susceptible to not just Scherzer, but others. And then he tightened up that hole.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's where he's getting beat the most. And I think he'll make the adjustment, but he's got to make it.
Before we get back to the calls here, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the fan. Last one for you. Do you think because of Wells' emergence as a legitimate threat in the cleanup hole, forcing pitchers to now go after Soto and Judge more.
Yeah.
Has that had an impact where they're getting out a little bit more just because they're being pitched to a little more carefully, or you know they're being attacked more so than they were before when there was no protection?
Yeah, that might be a little correlative. I mean,
I don't know statistically.
I don't either.
But I can maybe there's something to it.
I can make the case it would be the opposite, actually. When nobody's behind you, you get nothing to hit. When somebody
right, but then the rare time that somebody does pitch to them and they make a mistake or throw them a strike, those guys crush it. Now it's like these guys, hey, I can't walk Judge or Soto. I've got to attack.
This kid behind him
because I have
good.
No choice. I mean, maybe there's something to it. Again, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
I appreciate it. I would say this. Let's not overthink it. Number one, baseball's hard. Number two, baseball's very cyclical.
Yeah.
And so, no matter who you are. So, we talk about Lindor, talk about Pete, although Pete has not had an amazing streak at all this year. Lindor has, Judge has, Soto
right,
has.
Right, right.
Alonso has been... It never really came his way. Not that he was always bad every single month, but he just never went on some 20 or 30 game heater where it's like, oh, wow, that's Pete. Oh, the other players have. So it's different degrees of either criticism or evaluation. Listen, 17 games to go. I think Lindor gets the job done. I think Soto gets the job done. I think Judge gets the job done. I am less emboldened to say that Pete Alonso gets the job done.
All right, let's get some calls in here. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the fan. Dane is calling from Point Pleasant. What's up, Dane?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey,
how are you doing?
Hope everything's well. Doing good.
Good.
I'm just blown away how the Yankees haven't ran away with this division. With the Orioles being in the state they are, they had five pitchers on long-term IL. They have multiple players in the field hurt. I mean, I know it's late in the season. Every team's got people banged up, but the Yankees, this is their year to really pull away from this thing because the Orioles aren't going to go away in the next couple of years. They're young and hungry.
True.
So.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sal. I was just going to say,
well, then
Dave.
Why is this the year? And thank you for the call, Dane. Why is this the year? I'm curious. Like, the Orioles aren't very good, but I would say the same thing about the Yankees. Like, when you talk about division-winning team, Orioles have been bad, but they could be saying the same thing. How come they're not pulling away from the Yankees? I'm just curious why you would say
that
this is the year.
If I could read his mind, I think what he did say part of it, and then I think he inferred the other part. I think the part that he stated was, and I would agree with this, like the Orioles aren't going to get worse the next couple of years. They're just going to have stars, young stars hit their prime, and they're going to become more of an issue for the Yankees. Listen, why? And his question was, why haven't the Yankees run away with it? I'll tell you why, because the Yankees aren't built well. That's why. Because they have two superstars, then we just gave you the stats. Well, the superstars don't hit. You flip on Yes or Amazon, whatever, where you can find the Yankees on a nightly basis, obviously here on the fan every night. And if those guys don't do damage, you know, you're lucky you scratch out 1, 2, 3 runs. bottom line.
It is bizarre when you look at the standings. And now even with Cleveland having the 83 wins as well, Yankees and Orioles are, you know, vying for the best record in the league, looking for that bye. Obviously, that's something that you want there. The importance on winning the division, it almost feels like, I know that most Yankee fans, and we've acknowledged, like talked about the division and trying to win it, but we haven't really honed in on that specific aspect all year long. It's like, well, they're going to the playoffs, so you don't really worry about it.
I do.
Where the Mets, it's more focused on, hey, they got to get to the playoffs. You got to get to the playoffs.
Yep.
You almost, if there weren't the luxury of the wild card, we'd be, oh my God.
Oh, like, God, we'd be nuts. That's
what I'm saying. It's a battle with the Yankees in order to try to win the division, but there should be even more talk about it.
You know what it would have been like? It would have been like the 80s, where, you know, pre-wild card in 1997, you know, the Mets, and I don't have to tell you as a Met fan, even though you were young, you know, the Mets showed a little flicker in 84, and then obviously 85, they were really, really good. They just missed out to the Cardinals and the Yankees in the 80s when they had Ricky and Donnie and Dave, you know, Jack Clark and Dave Winfield and Willie Randolph and some other, you know, pretty good hitters, but didn't have the pitching. They were going into the final weekend, it seemed, every year, at least for a couple of years, a game or two behind Toronto, and they were falling short. Like, the Yankees had the most wins in the 80s.
Right.
Like, the Yankees had no championships in the 80s. They lost in the 81 World Series to the Dodgers, didn't get there in 80. And then didn't get to the playoffs again until 1995. They would have been there in 94 with the strike, but the 80s was, in terms of championships, it was empty, but the Yankees won more games than anybody.
Yeah.
And the Mets were obviously incredibly, I mean, they won it in 86, they should have won it in 88 when they lost to the Dodgers, they could have won it in 85, the Cardinals very good. Like, you're right, without the wild card, I think that you can make the case that baseball right now is bigger than the football. Without the, in our city.
Yeah, I wonder if that would be a better thing for the sport, but you'd have less cities in it.
Who cares about
that? Yeah, I know. Honestly, well, that is true. I'm just trying to get for the betterment of the sport, but we'd certainly, and by the way, it wouldn't be just now with 17 games to go. We'd be talking about this all year long. Oh my God, they got to win this division. And instead it's just like, they're going to get in anyway. The Mets have been almost a more exciting talking point because of the
urgency.
Hey, they may not make it.
Yep.
Like, it's do or die. And the playoff system, even with that now, like, it's so convoluted. The extra team getting in and the bye, and then is the bye going to hurt them?
No, I want the bye. I think you and I disagree on this fundamentally. To me, the more, just back to the Yanks for one moment, I don't know that it would impact the Mets as much because the Mets have basically been playing playoff games now for, you know, last 2 months just to keep afloat. So I think they're maybe programmed to do that better than the Yankees right now. But the more baseball the Yankees play, the more worried I'm going to be. Because they have things that worries me. Now, top end of the roster, the two superstar hitters, Garrett Cole's phenomenal. We know about Luis Gil. Hopefully they rectify the back of the bullpen by mixing things up, whatever. But I just think, like, this isn't Bernie and Tino and Posada and those boys. The more the Yankees play baseball, I think the greater chance they get exposed. So if they can bypass, the division means everything to me.
Yeah.
If the Yankees don't win the division, they're not winning the World Series. And that's what I believe.
Three games against Baltimore coming up in 2 weeks, I believe. You know, it's wild, the playoff format. Like, football now, one bye. Our whole lives, football,
I know.
Two byes. Now they get one. And in baseball, there was never any bye, and now there are two byes. So whoever wins, you would think the AL East and the Guardians, it looks like right now. I know there's still some time to go. And by the way, Kansas City, they can actually get one of the byes. 3.5 games back. If you win the Central, you're probably going to have the second best record as far as division winners go.
Yep.
Along with whoever wins the AL East. And those are the teams that are going to get the bye. Haven't even looked at the matchups yet or possibilities. It's crazy to think where we're at with the playoffs. Jason is calling from Mount Kisco. What's up, Jason?
Guys, how are you? Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for making
really
it.
Really enjoy your. Absolutely. So, heard some talk. Obviously, Alonso has been very disappointing this year for everybody. I've heard some talk about that the Mets may take somebody like Vientos and potentially move him over to first and then pursue a third baseman in the offseason. Just wanted to get your opinion about what you think is more likely, that the Mets retain Alonso and keep him at first, or that they do move, say, Vientos over to first base and then pursue a third baseman in the offseason. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
What do you think is more likely?
That's a good question.
I would probably say more likely is moving Vientos because of what they have in the minor league system and because of what the possible market will be for Alonso.
Mm-hmm.
If the market is, and I don't want to say robust because I don't think it's going to be robust.
It's not.
But there will be a market for Pete.
Yep.
And I don't know if the Mets are going to go, let's say, how as high as the Cubs or the Giants. Just to give you two teams. I don't even know their situation. I'm just throwing you out two teams. There's going to be a
team. Those are two good names, by the way. Okay. Both could be involved.
There's going to be a team that is going to be willing to pay Pete Alonso more than the Mets will, in all likelihood. Mm-hmm. What that contract looks like, I don't know. Will the Mets close the gap? I ultimately don't know. But I don't believe the Mets are going to overextend to keep Alonso here. And I do believe he'll get one team. Boris will find a team to pay him more than the Mets will, which would then mean the Mets will say, okay, we hate to do this, but we'll let you go move Vientos to first and figure out third base.
I agree with you to a point. I think what's happened, now I know that Chapman just got his extension. All right, Boris did some work on that. And Blake Snell, it's going to work out well for him. I do think that there's a chance, and I don't know if Pete would be amenable to this, like if the Mets don't come at his eyes with a proper offer, maybe he's just a little turned off and he just bounces out of spite, whatever, and he takes an extra $15, $18, $20 million somewhere else. I don't know. But I do think what could happen, because the contract structure's changed so much, particularly for, I don't want to use the word aging, but you know, first baseman is a little different when you're 30 versus 25, unless you're a lefty like Freeman. I think that maybe if he can finish strong here, I do maybe see a path or a bridge to a 2+1 with the Mets.
Yeah.
And you know what? That might be really good for the Mets.
But don't you think that depends? Like, I don't think the Mets are just going to say, we've had it with Pete Alonso. I think the Mets want to bring Pete Alonso back.
At their price.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then the only way that wouldn't happen is if somebody, a la DeGrom, the Mets wanted to bring DeGrom back at their price. So if somebody, and generally there's always one, if somebody overpays, are the Mets going to be willing to match? Or do they say, you know what?
I think if it's for two, three, maybe even that fourth year is the option, I think they could be. If it's longer than that, no chance.
BT and Sal on the Fan will come back. Have Howie Rose when we come back at 11 o'clock, top of the hour.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.